All rise and come to order. This is a code enforcement hearing in and for the city of Greenville Springs, Florida. Please be respectful of the proceedings and kindly remain quiet until your case is heard. We do not allow audible cell phones or pagers, so please place them in the silent or vibrant mode. Judge Garfield Hurt will go over the procedures for these hearings following the pledge of our flag. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, if you're going to come up here tonight and speak, please raise your right hand and be sworn in. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. All right, you may be seated.
Kimberly, which is going order of agenda?
Yeah, we'll just start with one.
All right, my name is Garfield Hurt. In a few moments, we'll start calling your cases. You'll be able to come up here and, if you want, bring a witness or bring evidence, documents, photos, that sort of thing. We'll take a look at them. First, the city will put on their evidence, and after that, you'll get a chance to put on your evidence and argue to the court your case, should you desire to do so. It's not going to be all of the formal rules of civil procedure, but we will have proper decorum in here. The biggest problem or issue it seems we have is people talking over each other sometime, either the court or the city. But one person at a time, it's hard enough to understand one person at a time. It's almost impossible to hear two. All right? So, with that, what will be our first case?
Our first case is case number 15-111. The property address is 1156 Buccaneer Boulevard. The owner of the property is Hart Richard Jr. and Jess Spencer. The certified notices were sent on 12/29/15 and April 7th of 2016. The return receipts were unsuccessful. Hearing notices were posted on the property and at the city hall on 11th April. Initial inspection by code enforcement was done back in December of 2015, and last inspection was done on April 11th. Total number.
Stop you right there a moment. Is Richard Hart or Jess Spencer here or anybody on this case here? No? Okay, continue on.
The neighbors are here. I'm
the
sorry.
Neighbors are here.
If they want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to say something later, we can do that. Go ahead, keep going.
The number of violations for this case is 1, violations complied 0, and this is the initial hearing for this case. The property is in a code violation of City Code Section 302.4 for weeds and overgrown property. Next slide, please. And if you can look at the picture tells the story itself. So my recommendation for this case is a fine property owner, $100 administrative fine, and allow the city staff to enter the property to do the maintenance by mowing the lawn.
All right. Did the neighbors want to say something? Okay, well, come up here and if you would introduce yourself and
I will.
Your address.
Yes, I'm Ann Huckabee, David Thias, and I live at 1154 Buccaneer Boulevard. We sit right next to this property and have for many years. I used to be a lobbyist in D.C. I came back to Florida to help with the St. Johns River Ferry to get it corrected and with the city council here, and we have done that. I'm now working with seniors in Green Cove Springs to protect them from unlicensed caregivers. Right now, our concern as residents and homeowners is how you're going to proceed to clear this land if and when you do. I know the owners have a certain amount of time to respond to it. Clear-cutting it worries me. If they put the picture back up, you can see the front could be cut down, but there are a lot of indigenous trees in there. that have grown up, and I think it has been clear cut before, it came back even worse. You see part of our home. There's really two parcels. That's just one of them. The other side of our home is their other parcel these same people own. We tried to buy it, and we wanted to make a community garden out of it. They would not even talk to us about doing that. So I guess we just want to have a little input when you do clear it, how you clear it, and some trees being left. So it does look nice, and it does look pretty, and it's just not mowed down. That front part is pretty bad. That could be mowed, but there are a lot of nice trees in there. Plus, I hate to say it, but we're working with the U.S. Wildlife. We have painted buntings on both sides of those properties. They aren't endangered, but they are about to be on the endangered list. They are nesting in both sides of those properties. They come to our feeders because we have feeders out. And they're very interested in looking at these. It's a real big thing from North Carolina down to Florida, North Florida, the eastern painted bunny. So I just kind of want to let you know that's kind of been in the works with us for a while because we're just bird watchers. But I just want to let you know we just, as homeowners, want to have a little participation if we can. I know you, as a city, you can come in and mow it down. I know that you're right. But we just don't want it totally cleared. That is on a wetland back there, too. I just want to have a little input. I mean, it's your right to do it, but we just wanted to voice our concern.
Thank you very much. All right. With that, that is a nuisance, so we have to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will agree with the city and enter a fine of $100 per day and order the city staff that they can. And do whatever is necessary. Do you know who you use to do that?
Our public works does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you might talk to them and, you know, ask them to talk to the next door neighbor, okay. Miss Huckabee, or somebody there.
We'll do more research from the...
All kind of critters that could be in there. We've got to get it right.
You said $100 a day.
Yes.
It's just a $100 admin fine right now.
Okay.
And we're going to do the city associate's going to do the work, and we'll come back for the lien next
whatever
time.
Whatever cost to get it done. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next case.
Next case on agenda is case number 15-112. The property address for that is 311 South Palmetto Avenue.
Is anybody here on that case?
Yes.
Well, if you come up and introduce yourself and your address, please.
Yes, my name is Kelly Gibson. I'm at 311 South Palmetto Avenue, Green Cove.
Okay.
The certified notices were sent on December 30th and April 7th. Written receipts were successful. The notice of hearings were posted on the property and at the City Hall on April 11th. My initial inspection was December 29th, and last inspection was April 11th. Total number of inspections were 3, and total number of violations for this case were 2, and number of violations complied is 0. And this is the initial hearing for this case. There are two different violations for this case. The first one is section 2661, which talks about overgrown and trash around the property. And second one is section 302.8, which talks about junk vehicles. Next slide, please. If you can, from the pictures, you can see there's a one vehicle with a no tag on it, and there's just a lot of unorganized stuff and trash around the property. My recommendation for this case is fine the property owner an administrative fine of $100 and allow them till May 28th, which is next month, 30 days from now, to comply. And if the property owner does not comply, then start daily fine of $25 per day.
Okay. Gibson, what say you?
The trailer was removed shortly after that first inspection, I imagine it was. It was belonged to a next-door neighbor who had to move out of his house, and he couldn't take it. It had a flat tire. The chemical buckets, as they said, were chlorine buckets used for pool cleaning. They were empty and cleaned out. They were just used for other storage. The pickup truck has been moved. It's now off the property. The only thing, there is a little bit of trash left behind the RV that I'm working on. I hauled tires off a couple of days ago. Done some other cleanup there.
How about the weeds?
I really don't have that many weeds in the yard except for a small section behind my RV. Smaller than that right there was, it used to be azaleas, but they were all cut down.
When did the city first get in touch with you?
I received a letter here 2 weeks ago, and right after that I received a certified letter. No, first day was a note on my door, the second day after was a certified letter.
How long ago was that?
A couple weeks.
All right.
That was the hearing notice, but the actual violation letter was sent on December 38th.
On when?
December 38th.
December?
I did inspection on 29th, and next day we sent the letter out. We did receive the signed card back from you.
So you get January, February, December. March, and part of April. You didn't get that notice?
Yes.
I don't remember that letter, but
all right.
I am cleaning the property up. Like I say, the trailer's been gone, the truck's been gone a week. Some of the other trash was hauled off, tires hauled off, but the yard is cut. The only weeds around my yard is a fence row and a little section back behind the RV there.
You know,
and I'm in the process of getting rid of the RV also.
You know Kathy Brown?
Yes, sir.
Okay, she signed for a letter back December 30th.
Okay, that's my other half.
Yeah. She didn't tell you about it?
I'm sure she did, but to be honest, I don't remember it. But.
All right. Here's what I want to do. I'm gonna give you a break. We're going to continue this to our next hearing, and I want you to clean it up and get it in perfect shape for the city, and so that you're in compliance. Otherwise, there's going to be a problem, okay?
All right.
All right.
Yes.
There will be an admin fine. Do we still...
Yes, there will be an administrative fine of $100, and the reason I do that is we have to pay these people to write these letters and to come out there and do their work. But we'll put a $100 administrative fine on that, and can you pay that in 90 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Give you 90 days to pay that.
Okay.
And be looking for that notice of the next hearing, or maybe if you come in compliance, you might not have to come back.
We don't know. Anything.
Give me 30 days. I'll have most of it gone if cleaned up, looking a lot better.
Okay.
I'm a little down right now. I'm disabled.
Your Honor, we might tell him city, as soon as he's got that done, he can call the code enforcement officer, and she'll come inspect it right then, and it may be that he doesn't need to come to the next hearing, but I'll leave that up.
That's what I'm hoping. No, that's what
I'll
I'm
do
hoping.
That.
So you get in touch as soon as you think it's in proper shape, you get a hold of the city here, okay?
The hearing notice you have,
yes.
It should have my number, my contact number on
okay.
it.
Okay, I got it right here.
Okay?
All right.
All right, you may go.
I thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our next case is case number 16-008. The property address is 603 North Cypress Avenue. And the
is
property owner is here. And
come on up, anybody on that wants to say something on this case. All right. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I had some chickens.
Wait a minute. Time out. Listen to the question.
Mm-hmm.
What's your name?
Oh, my name is Wilfredo Maldonado, and my address is 603 North Cypress Avenue, Winkle.
Okay, I want you to spell your last name.
M-A-L-D-O-N-A-D-O.
His first name is Wilfredo?
Yes.
Pronounce your last name for me.
Maldonado.
Maldonado?
Yes, sir.
All right, if you would continue.
The property owner for this property is Doug Burnett, who is present in the audience right now. The certified notices were sent on February 2nd and April 7th, which was successful. Hearing notices were posted at the property and at the City Hall on April 11th. My initial inspection was January 28th, and last inspection was April 11th. Total number of inspection, 2. Total number of violations were 2. Violations complied, 1. This is the initial hearing for the case. This property was in violation of 2 different city codes. The first one is section 26-61, which is same as the earlier one for the overgrowth and trash. This one didn't have too much overgrown around the property, but it was a lot of unorganized stuff and trash around the property. The second section is 26-94-A-2 about the animals. The tenant had some chickens, and they were cited for that because I received a complaint regarding crowing chicken. If you go to the next slide, please. If you can, you can see from the pictures there were chickens and a lot of unorganized stuff outside in the yard. When I went to post the hearing notice on April 11th, I noticed their chickens were gone, and so does their house was gone from the backyard. But there was still some other stuff present in the backyard. So my recommendation for this case is fine the property owner, admin fine of $100, and allow another 30 days to comply. And if they don't comply by May 28th, then start daily fine of $25 per day.
All right. Now, what is your relationship to the property? Are you a tenant?
No, it's my brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your brother's name?
It's Reynaldo Maldonado.
Does he live there?
Yes.
Okay. And you're here on behalf of your brother?
Yes.
All right. What would you like to say?
I would like to say that if you give me another opportunity, we'll do it.
How long do you need?
I think about a week.
Okay, is the property owner here? Did you want to say anything?
I think he's got it covered, to be honest with you. We just had a communication gap. They didn't stand these for Spanish speaking, so they're good people, I'm sure, to come over and say something.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Okay, so you could have it all done by, let's say, May 1? It's 11 days?
Yes, sir.
11 days?
Yes.
All right. Here's you need a little longer?
Yeah, what I would like to say is, what exactly do I have to do in it? Because I clean all that up right there that you see on the screen.
What I see on the screen looks like a migrant camp or something.
Yeah, but I did clean it up, all that up, and it needs no more than that.
I can come and meet you at the site, and we'll talk about it, what needs to be done.
Oh, all right.
Does that sound fair?
Yes.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay. I'll give you till May the 10th.
All right. Thank you.
Get cleaned up. Yes. And get in contact with the city. I am going to fine you the $100 administrative fee, or I'll fine the property that. Mm-hmm. How long will you need to pay that?
I think 90 days.
Okay.
I think it's better because I just got plenty of time.
All right. We'll give you 90 days to do that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Do that.
think we should say for the record, Your Honor, that if he doesn't pay within the 90 days, it will become a lien against the property itself, and the owner should know that.
Yeah.
He does know it, but just for the record, I want to say that.
All right, you need to pay that within 90 days, or there'll be a lien against the property.
It's not a problem, sir. But I would like to know where I'm supposed to make the payment. Right here? Okay.
You come here at the City Hall and...
Yes.
They take money 4 days a week.
After the meeting today, you will receive an order in the mail and a payment request in the mail too, which will go to Mr. Burnett, and he can just forward it to you or however you communicate with him.
Yes. Appreciate it.
All right. Good luck, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much.
The next case, if we could have the property owner come up here on this one, or anybody that might be here on, is that Theodora Monroe? Is that the case we're on?
Yes, sir.
All right.
The next case is case number 16-010. Property address is 1111 Wahlberg Street. The property owner is Monroe Theodore and Marilyn D. Certified notices were sent back in February and April 7th, which was successful. Hearing notices were posted on the property and at the City Hall on April 11th. Initial inspection was done on January 17th, and last inspection was done on April 11th. Total number of inspections were 3. Number of violations, 1. Violations complied, 0. This is the initial hearing for the case. This property is in violation of City Code Section 26-61 about overgrown and trash. This property does not have overgrown problem, but there is a lot of trash around the property. If you can go to the next slide, please. These pictures were taken on January 28th of this year. If you go to the next slide, please. Yeah. Next slide. This were taken back in February. And when I went to put the hearing notices up, some more pictures were taken on April 11th. I have noticed some progress on the property as far as the cleanup goes, but not completely complied yet. My recommendation for this case is find the property owner an administrative fine of $100 and allow them another 30 days to comply, and if not complied by May 28th, then start the daily fine of $25 per day.
All right.
Hey, I understand it was stuff out there, but just like I say, you know what I mean, we got the biggest of that stuff cleaned up, that you know if you came by there lately. But anyway, I'll clean up what you say. No problem.
Okay. Can you have it cleaned up by May 20th?
April, May, June. No. Hey, look here.
30
I have a heart of 30. I can't do too much at a time, but I will do it.
Okay. All right. Can you do it in 30 days?
Well, you better give me 60 days.
The problem with this case, every time I go over there, I see different things laying around the property. So I'm questioning at this point, do you have a home-based business where you...
But what it is, I'm going to... Now, just like you said, the trees, now those trees is on the city property. I can't cut them down. You know, leaning over the fence, I can't cut them down. And so, and my problem, I'll take care of that.
But Mr. Monroe, it looks like the problem's not the trees.
Yeah,
so much as the problem is that you got a place there that would make a junkyard look like a Taj Mahal. I mean,
it don't look like that now, though.
It doesn't look like that now? Well, good.
Right, you
ought to be able to clean it up by May 30th. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to I'm going to charge you a $100 fine. I'll give, I'll give you 90 days to pay it. That's the dollar a day. So start saving your pennies. And you'll have until May 20th to pay that, or there will be a fine assessed after that, $25 a day, okay?
All right.
Yes, I would like to know, what is it that we have to do? I mean, after we do it, do we call you? My name is Marilyn Monroe, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We have to call you?
Yes, ma'am. Once you're done and once everything is cleaned up, give me a call and I'll come out there and inspect it again.
Okay, and like I want to ask you this. At the beginning when we were doing this, when we started doing this, why didn't they have on the bottom of the letter to get in contact with me to let me know so I can come out, and I'm talking about you now, so you can come out and see what we have done.
Well, y'all can
you can call me.
Y'all can discuss that when she comes out there, but for right now, let's try to get it finished, and if you want to chat outside of court, that'll be fine, too.
I don't want to chat. I didn't
want
to ask for that.
All right. Well, let's get it cleaned up, okay?
All right.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
The next case is case number 16-013. The property address is 739 Myrtle Avenue. I don't think anybody's here for this property.
Okay. We might want to ask, is anybody here on this case? Property address 2368 Sandy Run Drive?
No, that's not the property address.
739
Myrtle Avenue.
Okay, what's the case number?
You are on the right case. That's just a mailing address.
Okay. All right. Scott Sorensen.
Yes, sir.
The property owner?
Yes,
anybody
sir.
Anybody here on that case? Okay. Proceed.
Okay. The certified notices for this case were sent on February 17th and April 7th. They were successful. Hearing notices were posted at the City Hall and at the property on April 11th. Initial inspection was done on February 17th, and last inspection was done on April 11th. Total number of inspection, 2. Number of violations were 2. 0 complied at this date. This is the initial hearing for this case. This property is in violation of 2 different city codes. The first one is Section 301.3, which talks about vacant structure. And the next one is Section 302.7, which talks about the accessory structures. And if you go to next slide, please. From the pictures, you can see the fence is falling on the next door neighbor's property, and that was the complaint. And when I initially inspected, this is a vacant house, and the door was open, so which is unsafe structure. And at this point, my recommendation for this case is fine the property owner an administrative fine of $100. Allow 30 more days for the property owner to comply, and if they don't comply by May 28, 2016, fine $25 per day as a daily fine.
Okay, after looking at photos, other evidence, and testimony, the court finds that there is a violation of the Green Coast Spring City Code and will impose a $100 administrative fine plus $25 per day after May 20th, 2016, if the property is not brought into compliance.
The next case is case number 16-021. The property address is 1506 Thomas Street. The property owner is Whitaker G.A. and the family member who's taking care of it is right now is Laura G. Cloud. Certified notices were sent on March 1st and April 7th, which was unsuccessful. However, the court enforcement had contacted the property owner, and we had sent a regular mail, which they received. So they are aware of the court violations issues with this property. The hearing notices were posted at the City Hall and at the property on April 11th. My initial inspection was on February 23rd. Last inspection was April 11th. Total number of inspections were 3. Number of violation 1. Violations complied, zero. And this is the initial hearing for this case. If you go to the next slide, please. This property is in violation of one city code, which is unsafe, which talks about unsafe structures. And if you go to the next slide, please. From the picture, you can see this structure is unsafe, and I had received several complaints from police department and the neighbors regarding the safety of the surrounding kids and the neighbors who live in that area. If you go to the next slide, please. My recommendations for this case is find the property owner an administrative fine of $100, allow them another 30 days from today, which will be May 28, 2016, to comply, and if the property owner does not comply by that day, then start daily fine of $25 per day. And I believe there is a person here for this case.
Is there anybody here on this case?
Yes.
My name is Ralph Galbraith, and I'm standing in for my sister that has charge of this property. She lives in Jacksonville. I talked to
the other
day. I can't remember your name. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
But it belonged to my sister in Alabama that passed away, and we're in the process of selling the property to the lady next door. And I went there last year and cleaned up outside and got all the junk out of inside the house. And she's suggested getting the fire department to burn it down. And that's fine with me and my sister. My sister in Jacksonville that's got charge of it is 91. She's down with congestive heart failure, and I wish we could have done, got something done with it, but it's just one of them things. They're in the process of trying to get hold of some relatives in Alabama that have signed the paper for to sell it.
Okay, it was a mess out there. It needs to burn down or something.
Yes, I agree.
Have you contacted the fire department yet?
I hadn't met chief.
We tried, as a city employees, we tried to contact the fire chief at the Clay County, Chief Knopf, but we haven't heard anything back from him as far as what we can do.
Yeah. I don't know if the fire department's going to be able to help you or your sister. Or is it an estate? Is it property in an estate at this time? There's probate going on? How is your sister in charge of it?
They had some agreement to my sister in Jacksonville loan my sister in Alabama money to buy some property up there. So some of the children said that it was fine with them, that it belonged to her, belonged to my sister Laura Cloud in Jacksonville. But that then my sister in Alabama passed away, and so it's
okay.
I got a niece in Gainesville that's working on it now, trying to get paperwork and stuff to distribute out and see what we can get done.
Okay. Sounds like a complicated thing right now.
It is.
I hope you get it done. But it's a nuisance, you know.
I know
that
it
place is a nuisance.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, somebody could come over there, young people or kids or something, homeless,
yeah.
And somebody could be in danger. So we've got to get that cleaned up somehow. The court will find that after proper notice, photographs, and other evidence and testimony that there is a violation of the city codes here, and will impose a $100 fine, which is not paid, would be a lien, plus $25 per day will be assessed for each day if it's not in compliance by May 20, 2016. Okay?
So when? I'm sorry.
By May 20th, 2016, it needs to be cleaned up, burnt down or something.
Yeah. 30 days from today.
I'll see. I'll go to the fire department too and see.
You might have to go over there and knock on their door. Sometimes they're kind of slow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, you will get a letter. Well, it will go to your sister in Jacksonville.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
My next case is case number 16-024. The property address is 1508 Elsie Street. The property owner at the time of citation was Bank of New York Mellon, and in between the property was sold and we have a new owner, and they're present in the audience.
Okay, if you would like to come up here, sir.
The certified notices were sent on March 2nd and April 7th, which was unsuccessful. However, the code enforcement was contacted by the real estate agent, and they were provided notice of violations via email. The notice of hearing was posted at the property and at the city hall on April 11th. My initial inspection was February 24th. Last inspection was April 11th, total number of inspections, 2. There were 3 violations they were cited for. Out of those 3, 2 were complied, and they're working on the last one. This is the initial hearing for the case. This property is in violation of 3 different city codes. The first one is section 14.272-4, which talks about the unsafe structures. The second one is 302.7, which talks about the accessory structures. And third one is 304.7, which talks about the roof and roof drainage. Go to the next slide, please. As you can see from the picture, the roof was in a bad condition at the time of the initial inspection, and the garage door was broken and open at the initial inspection. On the inspection which I performed on April 11, the garage door was fixed. And in between the sale, the property was sold, and we have a new property owner, and they were aware of the code violation issues with this property. And they were working on getting the roof redone, and they just passed the inspection today. Is that correct? Right?
Yes.
They just passed the inspection today. So my recommendation for this case is find the property owner an administrative fine of $100. And dismiss the case due to voluntary compliance.
Okay. What, state your name, please, sir.
Tom Summers, sir.
Okay. Congratulations. Thank you for getting that place into compliance.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I fine $100 and then dismiss the case, is there any authority to enforce the fine?
I would recommend, Your Honor, that you enter a conditional dismissal and reserve jurisdiction to reopen the case if it's not paid, or maybe just tell him 10 days to pay the fine. If he pays it, then you'll dismiss it. Otherwise, we'll keep the case open. That would be a better way to go.
Okay, so I'll keep this case open for 10 days, and if you pay the $100 fine, I'll dismiss it.
Okay. Can I give you a check right now? I mean, if that
not
gets, Bob, they'll pay anybody if that's the end of it. In fact, why don't you send it to the bank too and make them pay you $100 too for.
I do have a payment request ready. So once.
Payment request.
The paper you need to bring to make a payment with you or.
Oh, I have no idea what that is, but I got a check.
No, it's in the.
Okay.
It's in the.
And that's to the city.
Okay.
Now, Your Honor, can dismiss it subject to the
He's writing the check right now.
All right. I will dismiss this case subject to the check.
Clearing.
Clearing the bank.
The next case we have on the agenda is case number 16-026. The property address is Florida Court. The owner is Five Star Builders. Certified notices were sent on March 3rd and April 7th, which was successful. The hearing notices were posted at the property and at the City Hall on April 11th. My initial inspection was March 3rd, and last inspection was April 11th. Total number of inspections were 2. Number of violation, 1. And violation complied, 0. This is the initial hearing for the case. This property is in a violation of City Code Section 26-61 for overgrown and treasure on the property. If you would go to the next slide, please. As you can see from the picture, it is overgrown in the surrounding area, surrounding of the building, and there's a lot of trash around the property too. My recommendation for this case is fine the property owner an administrative fine of $100 and allow the city staff to enter upon the property for purpose of mowing the lawn and removing the trash. And the property owner will be fined for the city's cost of abating the violation.
Is there anyone here on this case? There being no one here, and after proper notice, photographs, other evidence, testimony, the court finds that there is a violation and that the city will be able to go in upon the property for the purpose of abating the violation by way of mowing the lawn and removing trash. And let's see, there'll be administrative fine of $100, and of course the city will be able to find the owner for whatever the cost of the clearing up the violation is. Okay.
Next slide. The next case on the agenda is 16-028. The property address is 3325 Turkey Creek Drive. The owner of the property is Income Holdings 4 LLC. The certified notices were sent on March 7th and April 7th, which was successful. The hearing notices were posted at the City Hall and at the property on April 11th. My initial inspection was March 8th, and last inspection was April 11th. Total number of violations, 3. Violations complied, 1. This is the initial hearing for the case. There are 3 different sections are violated for this case. The first one is which is section 102.414-4-E, which talks about the fences and walls and hedges, and which talks in detail about the specific requirements to install the fence. The next one is section 14-35-B-11, which is regarding the Florida Building Code, which requires to obtain a fence permit before installing the fence. And the last one is section 302.7, which talks about accessory structure, which is also about the fence for a structurally sound and good repair condition. If you go to the next slide, please. The fence was installed inside out. The bad side was facing the next door neighbor, and that was the complaint I received. If you go to the next slide. Some of the posts and the panels were not secured enough in the ground for the fence on both sides. That was the other violation. And there, before installing the fence, there was no permit issued for this fence. My recommendation for this case is fine the property owner an administrative fine of $100, allow another 30 days for the property owner to comply, and if not complied by May 28, 2016, there will be a daily fine of $25 per day after May
28, 2016. Good evening, sir. You want to state your name?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm Bill Reno. My address is 193 Aruba Lane, Ponte Vedra Beach. I'm part owner and property manager of this particular property. I would like to say that we're being unduly picked on by zoning and all on this. because of the, we got initial ARB approval for this fence. Nobody told us anything about having to have a building permit, which I've been in property management for 35 years. I work for some of the biggest property management companies, and at present I manage six properties or six community associations in Ponte Vedra. None of them, St. John's County, Duval County, nobody requires a permit, only ARB approval. Well, we got ARB approval on the fence. The front part of the fence, which they said was in violation, was falling down. The history of this property, one, it was a foreclosed property. It had been vacant for over 3 years. We paid in total of tax assessments or taxes and community association, we paid over $20,000 to get this. It was a HUD property. HUD refused to pay us, so the only way they would let us buy this property was to go ahead and pay the city of Green Cove Springs, the state of Florida, the community association and all. We then went in there and did over $20,000 worth of repairs. We put in all new appliances. It took us 3 or 4 months. The neighbor next door, which clearly both sides of us, they did not get permits. In fact, the committee, Magnolia Point, did not even know you needed permits. Nobody, they cannot find anybody in that association that has ever got a permit. And I challenge the city to show me where anybody has got a building permit to put a fence up in there. Both the fences on both sides of us are illegally on our property, one by 2 feet and the other one by several feet. So they definitely didn't get probably. And I talked to the guy next door, which is a heck of a nice guy. He's military. You know, when I'm former military, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and so I love my military, and I don't like to cause them any trouble. I was not going to do anything about making him move that fence, but now both of these fences are on our property. My fence people are going to remove both of them. ARB committee has told us that we can do that because they're clearly on our property, and then there'll be no fences. The front fence that they said was in violation was falling down. It was a wooden fence, no gate on. Nobody ever complained about that, Your Honor. But now we go in there and we replace it, and then the neighbor next door, the one they're complaining, she's such a nasty lady. I mean, she's a drunk. She called the police. The police came out there. I'm a retired police officer also. And I told him, I said, you know what, this is a civil matter. It's not a police matter. The police officer was very nice. He said, to tell you the truth, Mr. Reno, she has been drinking. I said, every time she's come out there, she's a total slob. And I hate to say that facetiously, but it's true. Anyway, so we go and we put another fence up. We put a privacy fence because she trespassed on our property and planted viburnum plants, which is the worst thing that you can ever plant on a property for privacy. So I thought that we were doing her a favor by putting up this privacy fence. And then, lo and behold, she gets in her drunk stupor and she calls the city and complains. Well, now I want to make a complaint on her because she didn't have a permit to put her fence up, which is on our property, and a complaint on the next door neighbor whose fence is on our property. And I challenge the city to show me one permit that's ever been issued in there for a fence.
Can I get your name again?
Yes, sir. Bill Reno, R-E-N-O, just like Nevada.
All right, let's focus here. We're kind of all over the map. The first thing we've got to determine, I think, is whether or not you were required to have a fence permit. Now, if 1,000 people do it wrong, I'm not here to judge those 1,000 people. I'm here to judge this case in front of me.
And I understand that, Your Honor.
The first thing I have to understand is whether or not you need a fence permit, and the city has given me a statute that it appears that you have to have a fence permit. Now, do you think legally you don't have to have one? I'm talking about legally.
Yes, sir. I think, well, you know what? Ignorance is no excuse. I understand that. I mean, I've got enough law experience and all to know that that's not an excuse.
Section,
you know,
14.35B11 Florida Building Code, fence permit is required before the installing the fence. It appears you have to have one before you install the fence, according to the building.
Well, you know what? We applied when we bought this property. We applied to the ARB committee, which is what you generally do. And even if you have to have a building permit, which in this case you do,
no other, and I realize this is, has nothing to do with Clay County. We will never buy another house in Clay County, I can tell you that right now. We were bidding on three or four more of them in there because of this. It's bad enough that you've got deed-restricted communities with regulation. We did what every other community requires us. We applied for a ARB permit, to which you, they told us we didn't need one on the front fence because it was already existing. And then we applied for one. They revoked it, as Ms. Goswami will tell you. They revoked it after we got a notice that we needed a building permit. Well, the Darren Decker, the property manager, told me, Bill, I've been out here 7 years, and I've never, ever heard of it. So they granted us the ARB.
Let's try to focus. We're spending more time talking about everybody else that doesn't have a permit other than your case. Those cases aren't in front of me. You know, if somebody wants to bring that case in front of me, they can, we'll decide what is going to happen then, but I just have to deal with this particular case. Now, is the permit required?
Yes, sir.
All right. What does he need to do to get the permit?
I've got all the paperwork, Your Honor.
Right. Is there going to be, if he turns in the paperwork and I guess the money for the permit, do you see any problem with him getting a permit?
He has to have an ARB approval.
Okay. He says he's already got that. I'm taking him at his word. You need to show him that you got the ARB approval, it sounds like. So we get that done, and then I'm hearing that the fence was installed backwards.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've already taken the fence down. That fence that was in question has already been taken down and stacked in the backyard, waiting approval from the city to
put it back up.
Yes, sir. Okay. Which was a very, we hand-built it. These are not cheap fences. I mean, it cost us over $1,000. This fence is hand-built on site. It's not sections like you go into Lowe's or Walmart, or I mean Lowe's or Home Depot and buy and put them up. We hand-built all of these fences.
Looks like a heavy duty. Looks
like a, it is a very duty. Nice fence.
All right, so now we're going to get a permit, and we're going to put the fence back up. How long is it going to take you to get that permit and put the fence back up?
Probably a week, 2 weeks maybe.
Can you get it done by May 20th?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, then, I don't see that we have much of a problem here then. Sorry for your trouble getting here, but going forward is what we got to look at. So we're going to get a permit, and we're going to put the fence back up. And it's going to be facing the right way. All right.
We have a few more speakers for this case.
Okay. All right, Mr. Reno, is there anything else at this time?
No, sir.
Okay, you can have a seat over here, and if we need you, we'll call you back up. All right, does somebody else want? Well, Mr. Reno, you were here earlier and swore in, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I swore in.
Yes, we were both there.
Both of y'all, okay. State, both of you state your names and your addresses.
Okay. I'm Alicia Garrigan. I live at 3321 Turkey Creek Drive.
Sean Garrigan. I live at 3321 Turkey Creek Drive.
All right. And I guess you have some business here about this fence?
Well,
yes.
All right. First off, let me just say, at no time was she drunk. The man's lying. All right. It was early morning. Whoever he had put the fence up was rude and ignorant. And that's just all I'm going to say about that. It's just insane. It's just ridiculous.
Okay.
All right.
All of that's
so
ridiculous.
So what I want to say, sir, is that it is true that he's had dealings with me, but I've never met him. He's never been on the property to meet me. And when he speaks about my husband being in the military, he is a nice guy, but we've never met him. What actually occurred, the history of this, is in December, I was in bed sick.
Let's have time out here a minute.
Okay.
It looks like we got the problem solved. Mr. Reno is going to get a proper permit and put the fence up properly. Do you have a problem with that?
Well, yes, I do have a problem with it.
The ARB was revoked.
Okay, he's got to show the city that it's ARB approved.
Okay.
And then he'll get a permit, and then he'll put the fence up by May 20th. Now, what's your problem with that?
Okay, well, it's an eyesore, and it's also, it detracts from the property value according to the neighborhood.
You need to talk to your homeowners association.
I have.
Okay, well, then you're doing the right thing. I can't do anything about the homeowners association here.
Okay, so...
And you need to talk to the city, and you need to tell the city what the problem is, and if they determine that it's a violation of the codes here, they will do something about it. But we're not going to do that here today. In this court.
I understand, and I did speak to Mitra, but when and if the fence does go back up, what I do want to say is the children in the court there at Turkey Creek, well, they're always out in the property, different various properties in the street playing and everything, and because they have constructed a double wall fence, essentially, and there's a gap, we've seen the kids come there, and now they have a tenant that has a small child, and it's sufficient gap for children to get in between and get stuck, and the fence does rock all around the whole entire perimeter because it was never cemented in. So it is a safety hazard.
I think the city, one of their complaints was that the fence was not properly attached, not properly installed. I think they will be overseeing it to make sure that it's properly installed this time.
Right, and I understand that. However, if it's installed and it's allowed to go back the way it is...
Yeah. I hate to interrupt you, but you got anticipatory complaint in here.
Well, okay. That's probably true. I've been dealing with it for a couple months.
If we talk about the 1,000 cases that should have been filed, and if we talk about anticipatory problems, we'll be here to midnight. We have enough work on our hands dealing with the case right in front of us.
You're right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, if I can just enter into the record, I did have occasion to meet them at the annual homeowners meeting when this topic first came up. Basically, as I understand it, there wasn't any ARB approval given. It's what's been communicated to me erroneously. They revoked it, you know what I'm saying? And now, in essence, the restart button has begun, okay? So, you know, just if I were you, I would get with ARB board, you know what I'm saying, look at whatever the design is, let the applicant, you know, get the proper building permit, and, you know what I'm saying, then, you know, it will move forward at that point. But that was part of the issue, as I understand it, when I met you there, and that was a whole question. And so, as you know, it's the HOA first and then us. So it's restarted now.
And let me say this for you. All the allegations Mr. Reno made that went in this year and out this year had nothing to do with your case, okay? And I don't want you to think because I didn't stop him in time that I was listening to it and hearing it and judging on it. It had nothing to do with this case at all. Don't know why he brought it up, but he did. All right.
I'd like to say one other thing. There will be no gap in there because the fence has got to be because we've got to reverse the good side out. Which every association that I've ever managed, and I manage Fairfield and the Preserve, the good side belongs to the owner. But in this case, we've got to put the good side to the other side. We've got to go back 3 foot on our property line to do that. So now there's going to be a 4 foot. I don't think any child is going to get caught in that 4 foot gap.
Okay. That sounds wonderful, then. It sounds like we're on the way to solving the problem.
What we're technically doing is giving them 4 feet of our property.
All right. Okay.
Your fence is on.
All right. Everybody can go. This particular case we're finished with for today. Hopefully for good. All right.
The next case on the agenda is case number 16-041. The property address is 471 Cherry Drive. The property owner is Hackworth Cotty. The certified notices were sent on March 16th and April 7th, which was unsuccessful. However, the court enforcement had contacted property appraiser's website because the certified notices came back. And property appraiser had provided another address for Mr. Scott, and we had sent courtesy notices over there, which he received. The property notice, the hearing notices were posted at the city hall and at the property on April 11th. My initial inspection was March 15th, Last inspection was April 11th. Total number of inspection, 2. Number of violations, 4. At this date, 0 violations were complied, and this is the initial hearing for this case. There are 4 different city code sections that were violated. The first one was 14.272-4, which talks about the unsafe structure. The second one is section 302.4, which talks about the weeds and overgrown property. Section 302.9, which talks about the defacement of the property. Section 304.7, which talks about the roof and roof drainage. If you go to the next slide, please. From the pictures, you can see the section 302.9. And if you go to the next slide, please, the properties.
Can you go back? I don't think it's the judge saw it. Judge Hurt just saw it. Yeah, okay, now you can go.
I saw the photograph.
Okay.
Now you're the if you go to this slide, the windows are broken, and if you go to the next slide, we were contacted by property owner Mr. Scott. I'm just giving you some background on this case. Initially, when he got the violation letter, he contacted me and said that he does not own this property anymore. And I had mentioned to him that the way we practice code enforcement, we send the notices to the property owner and the property address, which is listed on the property appraiser's website. And in his case, I was given another address from the property appraiser's website, and we send the notices to that address. And he also told me initially that he had filed bankruptcy and this property was part of the bankruptcy and he doesn't own this anymore. And Mr. Scott was supposed to bring me the paperwork from the bankruptcy several weeks ago, which he did day before yesterday. So I didn't have enough time to research, but I did contact the Green Tree Servicing Company, whatever you have on the paperwork you brought me, and I was informed by them that they do not have this property on their listing or with the mortgage, and they could not provide me any more information as I'm not the property owner or anything.
Well, I don't know what they did with it then, Your Honor, but they are.
For the record, you want to state your name?
My name is Scott Hackworth. I live at 2229 Knowles Road.
Tell me what relationship you have with this property.
It used to be my property. I haven't lived there since 2011. I got incarcerated in 2011 and was incarcerated until mid-2013. And when I got out, I had went over to the property and it was unlivable. So I contacted Green Tree to find out what they were going to do as far as foreclosing or whatever, and then they informed me that they were a collection agency. So at that point, I filed bankruptcy.
You listed this in your bankruptcy?
Yes, sir. I've got that.
Chapter 7, I assume?
Yes, sir. I've got it right here.
There is a paperwork in the file for the bankruptcy discharge.
I did see an order of discharge.
March the 16th was the order of discharge.
Oh, right there. Okay. Down in front of me.
Green Tree Services was the ones that owned it when I filed the bankruptcy.
They're merged with Ditech now, and I called them today, and I talked to the real estate person over there, and they said they do not have this property with them anymore.
It was with HSBC, and then the HSBC sold the property or sold the mortgage to them, the Green Tree, and that was the last I heard. So at this point, I don't know who owns the property. I know I do not.
You surrendered the property in the bankruptcy?
Yes, sir.
And who owned it at that time? Who had the mortgage at that time?
Green Tree Services.
I even if surrendered, wouldn't there have to be, there have to be some conveyance documents coming from somewhere, a trustee or somewhere, would there not, for actual ownership to change?
Well, you'd have to, Green Tree would have had to, had to either did do a motion to stay and come in and foreclose, or wait till it was over and foreclose. At some point, there would have had to been, a foreclosure action for Green Tree to get it back. Just because he surrendered it, I mean, doesn't. They would have had to, accept the surrender.
The surrender, because you can't have a conveyance without the acceptance, just like a deed without acceptance is no good as you know.
So I think that you are still the owner. Unless they accepted the surrender, or
the judge that signed the bankruptcy.
Signed the discharge. What that means is whatever debt you owed on that house at the time, you no longer owe that debt.
Okay.
So now, I think you're still the legal owner of the house.
Well, what do I need to do as far as getting a deed? Because as of right now, with probation and all that, I am not allowed at that property, especially with it being discharged in the bankruptcy.
I don't know.
Your Honor, you had an attorney, I would think, if he did, he did.
Auto Refuse, Moss Refuse, and Rosati in Jacksonville.
No, I knew him.
You might try to get an explanatory letter from them or an opinion for the court from them. I think if the judge were to enter an order asking them to do that, they probably would voluntarily to give us an explanatory letter as to ownership since they were involved in your bankruptcy, and that would clear the air. I would think, I don't expect you to know the law, and I'm not a bankruptcy expert. Our judge is, but yet he doesn't have all the documents.
Well, my attorney actually offered to come here this evening, but I didn't have $500 to give him right now. Auto Refuse.
Yeah. Auto likes to get paid.
Yes, sir.
Knowing what?
Yes, sir. He's a very good attorney, though.
Well, maybe he'll do a letter for less. Here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to continue this thing. I want you to go back over there to Mr. Refuse and ask him if he would write an explanatory letter as to who owns that property now, okay, since it was in the bankruptcy. And he would probably know that off the top of his head, hopefully.
Okay.
All right, can you do that?
Yes, sir.
What's your homework?
To get with my attorney and see if he'll write a letter as to who owns the property now.
There you go.
Your Honor, would it be, you know the attorney, I don't know him, I've heard the name, but you know him yourself. Would it be helpful if the court entered a very simple order just saying, order continuing the case until the next code enforcement meeting pending receipt of a letter from his lawyer advising the court who the lawyer believes the owner is, something like that. If he gets something like that, I would think he would take a minute or two.
Draft one up, and sign that with that in. Okay.
I'll be happy to help you draft any of that if you like, if somebody gets in touch with
you. Your Honor, I would also like to apologize to Mrs. Goswami.
You're fine.
I got aggravated with her yesterday.
That's okay.
So. Okay.
Because that's part of my job.
Yes.
All right. Okay, then. You're excused.
All right. Thank you,
we'll
sir.
We'll see you back at the next hearing. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Find out what's what.
The next couple of cases I have, those are for the lien recording. The first one, the first case I have is case number 14-013. The property address is 1013 Idlewild Avenue. The property owner is Ms. Tomlin Alton Ray. Certified notices were sent several times. The last one was sent on April 7th for the hearing notice, which was successful. The hearing notices were posted at the property and at the City Hall on April 11th for this hearing. Initial inspection was done in August of 2015. My last inspection was April 13th of 2016. Total number of inspections were 8, number of violation 1, And Mr. Tomlin complied with their violation on April 11, 2016. And this hearing is for lien recording / fine. This property was in code violation of section 110-7, non-conforming sign. Go to the next slide. If you look at the pictures, this case started back in 2015. And no, go to the next slide, please, to the background. If you recall, Your Honor, this case was presented for the hearing several times before you. The initial one was back in 2015, May. October 7, 2015, there was an order signed and approved by you, which said that if the property owner does not comply by November 19, 2015, there will be a previous fine of $2,250 plus admin fine of $100 plus $25 per day for each day of non-compliance. Mr. Tomlin applied for permit application on October 7, 2015. The permit was approved on November 2, 2015, but no work was started until January of 2016. At last hearing on January 28th, we continued the case as Mr. Tomlin had failed the initial inspection on same day and he had asked for more time. So we had requested continuance till today. And today, in between, there were two more inspections performed by city building official. One was on February 24, 2016, which was again failed. And finally, the final inspection was done on April 11th, which he passed. And my recommendation for this case is as of right now, the case has accrued a total fine of $5,325, which includes previous fine, daily fine, and administrative fine from November 28, 2015 till April 28, 2015. The other recommendation is dismiss the case and allow the property owner to pay the allow the property owner 30 days to pay the fine.
Okay. My name's Alton Ray Tomlin, and I can try to backtrack through what you said, but part of the reason that it wasn't done was because I had applied for the permit, and Jana said that things had to be changed on the permit. I didn't even get the permit until only a week before the final time for it to be completed. Remember, Jana?
Yep. Permit was issued November 2nd.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem was that he did not have sufficient information to issue the permit. That was the problem, and we had to go back and forth a few times. And that's
right.
What
the work was when the work was done in time, per se, to the permit, and when I called for an inspection. It was a concrete base, just like it's finished off there. The city there was no city inspector here to go inspect it at that time, so he had to use a county inspector. The county inspector went out there and failed it because the plans wasn't on site. I didn't know I was required to leave plans on site. It was nothing, and none of the stipulations for it. And then he also said that there was no electrical hooked up. In the plans, I specifically said there would be no electrical hookup on it. So the city inspector came in 2 weeks later, and then he asked me to come and look at what I wanted to do with the sign. He said, well, you don't have it finished. I said, well, there's a concrete base, and then we've had to sign this off. He said, well, can you paint it or stucco it? And I said, yes, sir, I can stucco it. So the next week, I went at it and had it stuccoed, and I called in for the reinspection and everything. He went back and called and said it was finished. And our last time we were here, I mean, after all the different times, we had waived all the fines. I've complied with every meeting, everything. The only time I didn't come to the one meeting was because of my employee signed for a ticket. I was signed for the supporters. I didn't even know I was there. And they said I was popular property notice and all. This whole thing snowballed because the sign's been there for 50 years. It's not a problem.
Right.
And we're trying to conform it.
Let me stop you. I'm trying to go back and remember exactly. I believe the court gave you until November 19th to come into compliance. Are you saying that you came into compliance by November 19th except for the stucco?
No.
Not November. It was, I had to get, let's see what date was that.
If you go back a few slides, please.
He did not comply until our building official approved it on April 11th.
April 11th was the final inspection when the sign passed.
The sign had been finished a lot longer before that and everything, except for putting stucco on the covering, the concrete baseless. The sign was done.
What date was it finished except for the stucco? That's what I'm trying to get to. Approximately, a month ago, 2 months ago?
It was in January, end of January.
February 24, there was another inspection, and it was failed, too. Okay.
When did it fail then?
February 24th.
Yeah, when did it fail?
On the 24th, and that 24th. Would have been, that was our current building official who then finally passed it on the 11th of April.
Okay, now, two weeks or 3 weeks before that, the county had inspected, because you were using county for inspections. And everything was done at that point. Now you can date that. Look at the date whenever that was done, because it was finished 2 weeks before that.
That was the same day the last hearing was, which was January 20th.
Well, it was in the end of January. I had everything done except for the stucco.
It did not pass.
The reason it didn't pass, if you look at the plans, it says a concrete base. It has a concrete base, and it doesn't extend over the height. It meets the requirements for an order and a compliant sign. The only thing that did not pass it was not finished, painted, or stuccoed, and that wasn't in the requirements as far as on the plans. Now, when he asked me to do that, I did brought and I did that. I mean, if you look at the plans, it was pretty explicit. I explained to him we're going to do a concrete, which is hardy board. It lasts for 100 years, you know, and I didn't want to. The problem is if you put the wrong surface, if you just paint it, then you can't do something else to that board. You close the pores of it, so I stuccoed it. So.
Okay, I think I know what I'm going to do. Anything else?
No, sir.
All right, Mr. Tomlin, I'm going to give you somewhat of a break here, okay? I'm very happy, the court's very happy that it's in compliance. I wish everything had gone smoother, but the court's thrilled that it's in compliance. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reduce that fine. I'm going to impose a fine of $500 for you to pay within 30 days. And if you pay it within 30 days, then I'll dismiss the case. If you don't pay it within 30 days, then we might be back in here talking about the $5,000 fine. You think we can do that?
Yeah, good. Can I add one more thing to this whole thing? I'm looking at 50 signs up and down these 17 and 16. That's been there longer than my sign. Are these signs being ticketed? Are these signs coming to court? How come I never see none of them? I see George up here all the time.
Mr. Tomlin, let me say this. I really believe the court's giving you a break. I hear what you're saying, but it's a little bit like the gentleman that was in here before complaining about the 1,000 people that didn't have to get a permit, you know.
Right.
The court can only take care of the problem that's in front of us. Otherwise, we would be here till midnight. Okay, we're not going to do that. I understand your argument, but that's an argument to be made outside this courtroom. Okay.
Okay.
I hear you.
I will say this on behalf of the city, Your Honor. We are systematically going about the business of getting everybody into compliance. The problem is that if they're there, they're grandfathered in, they haven't stopped using the sign and on there, sometimes we can't. And of course, just like with, and this is not meant to infer anybody's a criminal here, but just like with criminals standing in front of the court saying, well, I'm not the only one that's done something wrong, you need to catch everybody now and point at everybody at the same time. That's an impossibility in the city of Green Cove as it is anywhere. There's going to be code violations every day for the rest of eternity in Green Cove Springs. And we just go about the business of trying to resolve in this best we can, and I think the city, I know you've seen a lot of cases come here, so you know that we're going after folks left and right, so certainly not picking on them. I know you feel picked on, I don't blame you in a way, but you're not.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. You may go.
I would like to say something.
What? State your name, please.
Jackie Tomlin.
And you are?
His wife.
Okay. Just for the record.
From what my understanding, we're not in compliance because the property was vacant. Is that right? Is that why the sign's not in compliance?
It's considered an abandonment. That was the initial complaint, probably yes. Even...
What does abandonment mean?
That there's no business at... It's at the site. I'd have to go back to the original complaint, which was when Mr. Felker was still here when it started.
It started in May of 2014.
Yes, that's how long this has been going.
Your Honor, a non-conforming sign is a business that is 6 months?
Yes,
yeah.
6 months.
Okay, that there's no business attached to where a particular sign is. And we have done, as you recall, we've done several other signs throughout the city. And in fact, I know y'all are working on additional cases coming before it. But in essence, that's the code violation that encompasses the sign.
Okay, the reason that it sat vacant is because of the city of Green Cove Springs. Because they came to my tenant, CSX, before I knew, my husband knew, that we were going to be possibly eminent domain for the new police department. And our tenant knew before we did. Because the chief of police went to our tenant and says, you'll need to be packing up. In 2 years, you'll be moving. And my tenant calls me. What's going on? My secretary at my place of business up the road did the same thing. They came here saying they're going to take your property for the police department. Well, when they caught wind of it, they started packing up. And for 3 years, CSX has not paid me because they left. Because they told they were going to be. $2,600 I spent on getting that property reappraised to prove it was worth more than what the city was offering me to buy it. We were the only ones collecting $30,000 a year. Everybody else was ratty shacks, and they were paying me $4.17 a square foot, just like the shack next door. However, I was the one collecting rent. Well, and it's because of the city that that place is vacant. And was vacant, and for 4 years it has been vacant, times $30,000 a year. So if the sign sat there and it wasn't in compliance, it's because the reason why it was even vacant was because of the city of Green Cove ran off my tenant. Do the math.
Well,
so if I owe $5,000, $500, or $5,000, the city owes me. 30 times how many years? 30,000 times how many years? And I've shut my mouth. I've vented a little bit. Janice, you know I have. You've even recommended Ray to tear the place down. He's not going to rent it like that. Is that correct?
Well,
I think it's worth more than that.
Does it have anything to do with where we are today? I mean, here's
where we are today is probably attitude. I probably have attitude, yes. And because
let me try to put this to bed if I can. I understand. This is the first time I've heard this. Okay.
I know, because we've been good people and kept our mouths shut.
It's the first time the court's heard it. If that is a proper legal defense, and I don't know whether it is or not, it should have been argued. It should have been argued way back in the beginning.
Because we're better people than that.
I know. Okay. Well, it wasn't argued back in the beginning. We had a hearing. The court found a violation. Now, I don't know how you're going to open that up, even if you can. It appears to me that it's an order that went unappealed. And now we're here 2 years later bringing something up that should have been brought up 2 years ago. Again, I go back, I can't try things that aren't before me. And it's not proper to bring it up at this time. I understand.
Well, it's only proper because that's the whole reason why we're here, is because... It wouldn't have been vacant.
Can I add one more thing, Ms. Garfield?
Yeah.
You're asking about the police being evacuated. The place is not totally out of CSX's hands. They still have equipment there. They had some generators. They have some helmets there. And they're still paying the electric bill.
What's
the electric
vacant?
Bill is still out.
What's
so they
vacant?
Still have, they're not paying me it on my total lease, but they're still
they've
in partial.
Again, I go back. This is the first okay. I've heard of it. We had a hearing, whatever it was, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and. None of this was. None of this.
So, if they're still paying the electric bill, are they? Are they vacant? Or is out of compliance then?
Your Honor, yes. I know you spoke to them, very good folks, but on behalf of the city, I have to do my job, and I just got to object to the relevance.
I don't think $500 is relevant either.
That's what I've tried to say.
I mean, I have a lot more money than paying the city $500.
Okay. All right. Next case.
Oh, forgot about it.
And somebody will draft me up an order to that effect.
Yeah, that one we had to change the amount on the order. Yes, sir.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
George Bland, I'm on the board of directors, Magnolia Point.
Yes.
And I understand that you ruled on the case earlier concerning 33-25-33.
Yes.
Could I add some things to that?
Well, I really think it's too late. I mean, it's over, and it wouldn't be proper to allow you to testify without the other parties being here.
It wouldn't be due process.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
I would tell you what the outcome was. That's certainly nothing wrong with that. Yeah. No, I understand the outcome. I got a call from Mr. Sheridan.
Okay.
And I'll just get with. I understand the gentleman has to get a permit. So I'll get the
Janice Street
tomorrow morning.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. The next case on the agenda is case number 15-002. The property address is 905 St. John's Avenue. The owner of this property is Katie Leland H. Hares. Several certified notices were sent, which were unsuccessful. The hearing notices were posted at the property and at the City Hall on April 11th. The initial inspection was done back in March of 2015. My last inspection was April 11, 2016. Total number of inspection, 8. Number of violations, 3. Violations complied, 1. And today we're bringing this case for lien recording. There were two city code violations. First one was section 304.6 and the second one was 302.7. Next slide. The property remains in the same condition as it started back in 2015 as we speak right now. The code enforcement has been communicating with the property maintenance company and the real estate agents, but so far I haven't received any progress on this property. So at this, my recommendation are to fine the property $5,350, which includes the daily fine and the administrative fine, and allow 30 days for the property owner or financial institute which are involved to pay the fine. And if the fine is not paid, then the city will record the lien on the property.
Terry, who's the property owner in this one?
Katie Leland H. Okay. The three hairs. It's a hair property, and it's last time for the January hearing, I was contacted by the property maintenance company, and they informed me that it was in a pre-foreclosure status at that point, and after that I haven't heard anything from them.
Okay.
This case goes back, for the record, back to when Marcy had done some research to figure out who was actually doing something, and we kind of gave them a pass because they said they were going to do some property maintenance, but it hasn't happened. So that's kind of...
We don't want to spend any more money on it because we don't. Doesn't mean they won't come negotiate with us and pay us something, of course. But, and then once they take ownership, either the foreclosure or somebody else buys it, the foreclosure is going to get fixed up right away. Because now you have a responsible buyer. Certainly, it's the bank. That would be wonderful. But they have to. They don't have a choice. We've had, I think, several of those cases where the banks have come in and done that. And we're always thankful for it.
After testimony and other evidence, the court will find that, of course, there has been a violation and the property will be assessed recovery costs in the amount of $5,350, which includes daily fines and administrative costs of violations of the Green Coast City Code at the property. And the property heirs or owners shall have 30 days to pay the fine.
Right, and if the fine's not paid, there will be a lien recorded in the public records of Clay County.
Right, and my last case on the agenda is for the dismissal. The property address is, the case number is 15-084. The property address is 420 Park Street. The owner of the property is McIntosh Delano. Several certified notices were sent. They were unsuccessful. However, the property owner is receiving emails from the code enforcement regarding the notices and other communications. The hearing notices were posted at the property and at the city hall for this hearing on April 11th. It's misprinted. Initial inspection was done in was done on August 2015. My last inspection was April 11, 2016. Total number of inspections 6. There were number of violations were 2. Number of violations complied 2. And we're bringing this case before you for dismissal.
Happy to dismiss it. Real.
Just and for the court to know is us using this kind of give them a date and or they're going to be fine. This is an example.
Yeah.
We gave the family the time they needed to comply, and they did comply. So, and that's our goal. So it's working.
Very good. Okay.
So my recommendation is to dismiss the case due to voluntary compliance.
I've already signed the order.
All right.
All right, then we are adjourned if there's nothing else.
Thank you. I do need to bring you.